Back to Psalm 2, and I told you this morning I don't usually bleed part 1 and part 2 from Sunday morning to Sunday night, but it worked out that way this week. So Psalms 2. Bible starts by saying there, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." Let's pray. Now, Father, we enjoyed the first few points of this morning. Maybe tonight is a little more apropos for our crowd as far as the Christian life is concerned, although this morning applied to that as well. I pray tonight that you might give us some insight into some things, Lord, of this way. We don't think about it often. We know that we have struggles within our spirit and flesh. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. And we know that there's a battle that rages there, and sometimes we lose track of why and what it might mean. I pray that you might give us some insight to it tonight, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so just briefly to synopsize this morning and then pick back up where we left off. Says there in verse 2, now I hope you understand, as I said this morning, this context, this doctrinal context of this passage is the millennial reign of Christ. I mean, says there that I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Verse 6 says there that I will declare the decree. Lord, said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, I will give thee, Christ, the heathen for thine inheritance. The Lord Jesus Christ inherits the heathen in the millennium, sets on his throne there. And so the context with all that has the heathen at the end rising up saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We discussed this morning how generally speaking, across the board, not just for millennial heathen, not just for millennial people with vain imaginations, that mankind tends to hate the bands and cords, the thou shalt and thou shalt nots, restrictions, reins, restraints, limitations, controls, that sort of thing. Certainly true in the millennium, which is worth thinking about, considering a perfect king, a perfect kingdom, with a great deal of the curse of sin removed, at least in part. At the end of the millennium, the heathen still rise up, the devil is let out, finds the soil primed for revolt, and Gog and Magog happens after the millennium. Well, if that's the case then, again, how much more so today? And I cut through a lot of stuff we said this morning to say, if you read any sort of, I don't know, contemporary Christian news material, if you sat at my desk and sorted the mail, you would know that there is this migration. There's this trend now in Christianity, in mega Christianity, in emerging church Christianity, where there is this now expectationless spirit, where Christians are not expected to behave morally or spiritually. That you get to come as you are and feel good about it and get positive feedback and affirm yourself and all those things. But as far as being directed or admonished or rebuked or reproved, there's not much going on. And so the Christians, the quote-unquote Christians, some may be legitimate, certainly some not, are tending to migrate to, again, the man-centered, pleasure-oriented, non-judgmental, no preaching, no rebuke type places. Again, where there's not restraint, where we're not reminded again and again that there are restrictions. And so that's what we talked about this morning, and that battle cry is found in verse 3 at the end of the millennium. And frankly, I don't think that anybody here will have much of an issue with understanding that this is also the battle cry today in so many circles. Let us break their bands. I mean, the Lord and His anointed. The Lord God, the Lord Jesus. Let's break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And so we talked about that for a while this morning, and the title of this message is taken from verse 3. The title is, Cast Not Away Their Cords. There's a reason for those cords. And frankly, after studying this out, I don't want to do away with those bands. I don't want to do away with those cords because they're misunderstood. I started by saying this. I took you to Leviticus and some other places where the Lord broke the bands of the devil and darkness on the children of Israel. And I also showed how he did that for you too, right? And now, whereas in Leviticus, the Lord broke the yoke of Pharaoh from off the Israelites' shoulders and then gave them actually another yoke, the yoke of the law, which bound them as well. Now, that's not what he did for you. When you got saved, you were born again, you were made a new creature in Jesus Christ. You were not given a new bond. You were not given a new yoke. What he did for you was redeemed you and purchased you. And so the first thing we talked about was the cords of a purchaser. And having paid the price for you and redeemed you and saved you, certainly the purchaser who paid the entire price for you should have the privilege of having some expectations of how you might live for him. I mean, you were purchased, a son, an heir, a joint heir with Christ, a soldier, a sheep. You're now a child of God. Surely, the one that paid the price for all that should have the right and privilege of having some things to say about how you should limit or extend yourself. So first of all, I said the cords of a purchaser. We are purchased. You owe him. You'll never pay him back, but you owe him your love. You owe him everything. And to suggest that he saved you so that you could live as you please is a debacle. It's ridiculous. I want to say secondly, and I took you in, actually to Proverbs 7. I'll run you over there for a sec because we're going to start pretty close to there soon. Proverbs 7. Proverbs chapter 7, and I noticed, I studied being bound, binding cords and such. And I found in Proverbs 7, verse 1, My son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee, keep my commandments and live. My law is the apple of thine eye, bind them upon thy fingers, bind them. So, the children of Israel were bound by the law of ordinances and commandments. The Lord bound them. And we don't like those bonds. And I just pointed out to you there that whatever can be said about these bonds here, these bonds were for protection. Look down in verse 5, that they, those words, those commandments, may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And I preached for a while about the cords of protection. Let us not cast away those cords. The cords of a purchaser who purchased my salvation, gave it to me for free. The one that gave me these statutes to protect me. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We're tired of him and we're tired of his son. Let's put him away. No, let's not. No, let's not. Amen? Hosea 11, just to summarize briefly. 4 points this morning. 17 or 18 tonight. I don't know. Hosea chapter 11. Notice, talking about Israel, but notice in verse 4, I drew them with cords of a man and bands of love. Well, there are worse cords than that. There are worse bands than that. The Bible says at the end of his course, man is bound by the cords. He's holding with the cords of his iniquities. And the Lord saved you and freed you from those cords, gave you cords of protection. gave you the cords of a purchaser, and then gave you the cords, the bands of love. There's worse things than that. Amen? Lastly, Psalm 118, and then we'll, I just wanted to make sure to summarize for those who weren't here this morning. Psalm 118. Psalm 118, 27. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice. There's another, something that's bound with cords. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Well, that's the cords of a sacrifice. And you say, well, that doesn't mean much to me. Well, it should. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Lord made the meaning of your life worth something. You now have something to sacrifice for Him. And for you as the emerging church Christians to rise up and badmouth the Bible and badmouth the admonitions of the Bible as Pharisaical or legalistic, when Paul stands up and says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, to say that's Phariseeism is ridiculous. Let us not cast their cords from us. And so we continue now. Look in Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, next thing, and this is the actual sermon for tonight. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Now again, the context here is verse 1, forget not my law, let thine heart keep my commandments. But verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon thy neck. You were told in Proverbs 7 to bind them upon your fingers. Now you're told to bind it about your neck. So there would be some that say, well, I don't want something bound on my neck. Let us break their bands asunder. Let's cast away their cords from us. That's not profitable. Oh, but it is in verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and great understanding in the sight of God and man. So shalt thou find favor. What is that? That's you doing something and God blessing it. How about the cords of blessing? How about verse 8 as we continue down the passage? It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. If you have good health, it's something you've been blessed with. It's nothing that you did. Maybe you made things better by running a mile here and out, here and there, and being careful about how much of something you eat. But it was God that blessed, right? Look down in verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I know we're not farmers here for the most part, but anybody can see here that God is blessing what this farmer's doing because he's bound this thing about his hands and neck. These laws, these commandments, he's taken these things to heart. Notice verse 13, something everybody's after. Happy. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. You know, for all the folks seeking happiness and so many finding it, if you can sit here tonight and say that you're happy, you know what that is? That's a blessing. And you didn't engineer that. You didn't do it. God did it for you. I'll show you some other things along this line, just a few more passages. Deuteronomy 6, real fast. I was studying bonds and bindings and the cords. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in conjunction with this, I found verse 6. And these words, we believe these words, which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. He's saying, obeying these things going in, the Lord is going to bless your going in, and you're going to wind up having wells of sweet water you didn't dig, and fruitful vineyards and olive yards that you didn't plant, houses that you didn't build, and all kinds of things. That's God's blessing. Now, I'm not trying to turn this into some materialistic thing at all, but I'm just saying that if there's something that you can say here, you have to say that God blesses certain things. He blesses the Word of God. Some of that Word of God is stricture upon you. It limits you. It reins you in. It restrains you. Some of it exhorts you further than you want to go. But when you do what the Bible says, the Lord blesses you. Look at just one more passage near in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 11, real fast. Deuteronomy 11, 18. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that ye may be as front, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord God sware to your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. He says, I'll extend your days. Folks, that's a blessing. You don't control how long your life is. If you do something right and God blesses it and extends your life, that's exactly what it is. It's a blessing. Now look, I'm talking here about the cords of blessing. Those heathen rise up in the millennium, and frankly, there's a spirit now amongst Christians. I believe it's alive and well amongst us here. I'm saying that you will be tempted in this thing to say, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. We are tired of the strictures the Bible puts upon us. We're tired of how that preacher sets things forth. We're tired. Let us cast away their cords from us. And I just want to say, I've learned there are some things in life that I cannot control. In fact, I've learned that there's lots of things I can't control. But I do not control my blessings. I mean, I can put certain things in order, but just because I put certain things in order doesn't mean it's going to be blessed. I can work hard and you can work hard, and just because you work hard doesn't mean the hard work's going to be blessed. If you're blessed, it's because God blessed you. It's because He was pleased by you doing something, right, probably obeying Him. I have never found a magic wand by which I can ding something I'm doing and it's blessed. God does that. And cast not away their cords from us. Because if there's anything that I need in this life, I need that. I mean, you go read the passage about Abraham's servant standing beside that well looking for a bride for Isaac, and tell me that once in a while you don't need something like that to happen in your life for God to bless a series of events where it comes to pass. I need more of that, not less. Now I just want to say, cast not away their cords from us, the cords of blessing. You know, blessings are like a river. They run in a certain riverbed. If you want to go see the Mississippi River, don't go to Colorado. Because the Mississippi River doesn't run through Colorado. If you want to see the Mississippi River, you can drive not very far from here to see it. Or you can drive north and see it, or you can drive south and see it, but you're going to have to go to the riverbed where the river runs to see it. If you want the blessings of God, you don't just get to go anywhere to get them. You've got to go where God blesses, in the riverbed where that river runs. And I just want to say, let us not cast away the cords of blessing. The heathen rise up and say, we don't want any more of it. I'll take more of it. Let's look at something else. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 6. The cords of blessing. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, go down to verse 21. We'll start with verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. Verse 21, bind them. There it is again, binding. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck when thou goest. It shall lead thee when thou sleepest. It shall keep thee when thou wakest. It shall talk with thee. It'll lead thee, keep thee, talk with thee. Look back to Proverbs 3. Something I kind of skipped in verse 6. Let's start with verse 5. You know the verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. How about the cords of guidance and direction? How about those? Ever know somebody that you couldn't tell anything? Ever know anybody like that? Knew a man, and of course he had a teenage son. He and his wife were going to go out of town for a weekend or something like that. Snow was supposed to be coming in. So dad takes son, 17 years old, out into the garage. He's going to show him exactly how to start the snowblower, because it's going to snow, and when dad gets back, the driveway needs to be blown. And the snowblower is cranky. It has to be choked just right. It has to be primed with just so many pushes on the little bulb. So dad is explaining to the son, okay, this is the key. You turn this. This turns it on. This is the choke. You know, 1, 2, not 3, 1, 2. Choke it and then push the bulb however many times. And about the time he gets there, son says, yeah, dad, I got it, I know. No, son, you don't understand. This is just so. If you choke it too much, if you prime it too much, you'll never get it started. I know, dad. And so dad goes, okay, but I want that driveway cleared when I get back. Mom and dad go. Sure enough, it snows 8 inches. And son can't get the snowblower started because his father couldn't tell him anything. So because he was proud and decided not to call, he got to shovel the driveway. Now, that was me. Now, that's the heathen. We are tired of these cords. You can't tell us anything. We know, Dad. We know. Let us cast away their cords from us. That was me about marriage before I was married. I knew all about it. That was me about kids before I had kids. I knew all about it. Know anybody like that? That was me before I got as old as my dad. My dad was the stupidest man to ever live. When I was 17, at 50, he's the smartest guy I know. You've heard that before, but before I ran into situations that I'd never conceived, that was me. I knew what I was doing. There's no need to read the Bible.
I know it already.
Yeah, right. Let us not cast away the cords of guidance and direction. Man, dear God in heaven, how I need that. Amen. How about something else? Proverbs 6 again. So the cords of blessing, the cords of guidance and direction. See how much you miss when you throw out the Bible as something that's just filled with rules, and it's just admonitions, and it's just too many thou shalt and thou shalt not. It's just a pain. It's legalistic. It's Phariseeism. And God loves us, and that's all that matters. And He wants us to be happy, and He wants us to bless us. And so everything's good. And it's not everything's good. As the heathen say, let us break their bands asunder, let us cast away their cords from us. Christianity is saying that tonight. If we go and preach this message at Emmanuel Christian Center, everybody leaves. I'm serious. You go try to preach this message in an emerging church, you get booted out. The police will come and carry you out because they are not interested. Well, there's this. Look in Proverbs 6, verse 23. Proverbs 6, 23. For the commandment is a lamp. And I find the binding back in verse 21. But the law is a lamp, or the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. But the law is light. Look in Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. And if you will, go down to verse 15. And many among them shall stumble and fall, verse 15, be broken and be snared and taken. Bind up the testimony. There's the bands. Seal the law among my disciples. I think that's the only place in the Old Testament that the word disciple shows up, interestingly enough. Verse 17. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, unto the wizards that peep and that mutter. Shall not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. It shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry and shall fret themselves, curse their king and their God and look upward, they shall look into the earth and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. They have no light. It said the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Then down in verse 20 it says, because there is no light in them if it's not according to this law, if it's not according to this testimony. Let us cast away their cords from us. No, let's not. That's the only place that there's any light. The Bible is the only place there's any light. And I know that people think they're smart. And every time people that think they're smart crash themselves into the shore, they dash themselves upon the rocks. And they have no wisdom. They stumble in darkness. They're turned and driven to darkness and delusion. Folks, how can you live without the light that we get from the Bible? Let us not cast their cords. No, let's not. I don't care what the heathen say at the end of the millennium. They're going to get devoured by a fire from the Lord. I'm not interested. I don't care what Christians say today in other churches. Let us not cast away their cords from us. Let's not. How about Acts chapter 12? The cords of blessing, the cords of guidance and direction, the bands of light. Look in Acts 12. Acts chapter 12. And notice, Simon Peter is in prison. And it says down in verse 7, "Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. A light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. His chains fell off from his hands." Notice, the chains fell off from his hands. So he's not bound anymore, right? Verse 8, "And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." Now that you're unbound, bind yourself with something else. Bind on your sandals. And so he did, and he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." The bindings on those sandals represent purpose. What's the Bible say? It says, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace," right? Ephesians 6 says that you should have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How about the cords of purpose? I mean, Simon Peter had his bands broken. I take that to be sin. He said, "Okay, now bind your shoes up on your feet. We got somewhere to go. Let's go." It's a purpose. I don't know about you, but when I go outside barefoot, I ain't going far. Because I'm a tenderfoot. And I ain't going to walk down no road. I'm not going to walk across the gravel driveway. When I go outside at barefoot, I'm going to go a few feet out in the grass and come back home. If I have a purpose, if I'm going somewhere, I go outside with shoes on. Now, I know there's probably exceptions to that in the room. I'm just saying, if there's something that the bindings on those shoes represent, it's purpose. Now, I just want to say, if there's one thing that you have this world knows nothing about, the heathen and the millennium know nothing about it. And many times now, Christians know nothing about it. That's why they say, "Let us cast their cords from us." Because they don't have a purpose. Having all the purpose in the world before them, they still have no purpose. You know where the Lord found me? He found me outside that vineyard in Matthew 20. In the 11th hour, he said, "Why do you stand here idle?" And I was idle. He found me in college. I had worked hard. I had a bunch of classes. I took a heavy load. I worked hard. I studied hard. I wound up with a 3.6 GPA or something like that in a pretty heavy science background, that sort of thing. I was busy. I was in track. I had friends. I had a social life. I had all those things. I was really busy, but I was idle. I didn't have a purpose. And Lord said, "Come to work for me in this 11th hour. I'll give you what's right." And folks, I'm just telling you, I wouldn't trade the cords of purpose. I don't know what people in this world live for. In fact, I look at the lives of some Christians that I have reason to know in other circles, and they talk a good talk, but I don't know what they live for. They don't have a Bible. I don't see much of a walk with the Lord. I don't ever see them try to reach somebody that's lost. I don't see much. I don't know what they live for. Let's not cast away the cords. No, let's not. Well, everybody else is. I don't care what they're doing. Let us not break their bands asunder. Let us not cast their cords from us. Look at just a couple more things and I'll be shutting this down. Look in Isaiah 61. This is kind of ironic. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me," Jesus Christ, "to bind up the brokenhearted." To bind the brokenhearted. Let us break their bands asunder. He said, "I came to bind up the brokenhearted." Look in Hosea 6. Hosea 6. verse 1. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, he will heal us. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. He will bind us up. Let us break their bands asunder. No, man, let's not. Let's not. Look in Psalm 147 real fast. Psalm 147. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. How about the binding of my wounds? That's a band. That's a cord. Right? I know this is Velcro, but this is a cord. I'm bound up. You want to break those bands? Really? You're sick and tired of God telling you what to do. You're sick and tired of the intrusions of the Bible telling you what's wrong to even think, what's wrong to even devise, what's wrong to even imagine. And yet, he's come along, most of us here, and bound us with great grace. He's bound our wounds. And though he's wounded us at times, the other side of that sword has salve on it. And he's bound up your wounds and given you salve for your bruises. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Tired of being told what to do. Well, part of being told what to do heals you. Let us not cast those cords from us. Let's not. Look in Matthew 12. I got one last thing, then I'll let you guys go. Matthew 12. The cords of blessing, the cords of guidance and direction, the cords of light, the cords of purpose, the binding of my wounds. Matthew chapter 12. If you'll go down to verse 24. Then the Pharisees heard it. They said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you." And notice what he says. "Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" Now, there may be another take on it, but I take that to mean that Jesus Christ went in the strong man's house, the devil, and bound him so that he could spoil his house. That's what I take it to mean. If that applies to me in any way, that means that part of the victory that I have is that the Lord Jesus Christ bound the devil and does not allow him certain latitudes in my life. Now, I don't know exactly how all that works. I don't. But if the Lord has cast some bonds and some cords spiritually and limited and restricted the devil in my behalf, how smart is it for me to say, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us"? Well, duh. Right? And so it's kind of interesting when I stopped and thought about it this afternoon. The millennial heathen in Psalm 2 rise up and say, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. We're tired of the Lord and his anointed. And so having said that, the Lord looses the devil from his bonds in the pit, and the devil comes back out and leads the heathen in revolt, and the Lord burns them up with fire. Like that. Ladies and gentlemen, the binding of the strong man. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords. Tired of being told what to do. Maybe you doing what you're told to do keeps the strong man bound and out of your affairs more than you can ever know. And I don't know that we can ever know before the judgment seat of Christ, to be honest with you. But all in all, the devil doesn't bother me an awful lot. He's never bothered me like he bothered Job, you know. So, what kind of moron like me would it take to say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us, because I'm just sick and tired of being told how to live? Are you an imbecile? Or have you just not read the Bible? No, man, let's not cast away their cords from us. Let's embrace the bands. Let's be glad for the strictures that he's laid upon us. Have a word of prayer.